Hi, welcome to See What Show, the movie, TV and DVD review podcast for regular people. I am regular person Brown.
And I'm regular person not Brown, Ling. Hey, you're wearing brown today, huh? No, gray.
Hey, yeah. Oh, no, it's grey.
Grey, sorry.
It's in the light.
Yes.
It looked brown. This week, we are reviewing 310 to Yuma. What else you watched?
310 to Yuma and Waitress.
Yes, and we have a live moment with Kai, who watched AVP 2, as did I, and we had a little argument.
Yeah.
It was Brown versus Kai 1. BVK, not AVP.
BVK,
Brown versus Kai.
We'll be looking forward to hearing a bit of that fight.
Yes, that was fun. Fun to disagree with Kai over a movie, especially someone as passionate and rabid as he is. Really, he was. Well, let's look at what's showing this week first.
What's showing this week?
Yay! I get to do it this week.
Ling does the paper thing.
Yes.
What's showing this week is One Missed Call.
Yeah. Scary looking, huh?
Yeah, I saw the trailers a few times.
And?
Not bad, but I get very worried when they do remakes of Japanese horror movies.
Mm.
This is based on a Japanese horror movie, which I can't pronounce right now because I can't remember. But it's about people who receive phones, ringtone, like a very odd ringtone on their phone, and then they hear themselves, a recorded message of themselves dying, then they die.
I know. Oh, that's so creepy though.
It is. Yeah. It's like The Ring, but for phones.
Yes. And you cannot tell me this kind of thing at night though, because if I hear it, I so will not be able to sleep.
So if we like change the ringtone to the one from the movie without telling you, then you'll freak out. Right?
Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, we might watch this. I feel like catching the original though. Actually, when I finished watching the trailer, I was thinking I'm going get the Japanese original.
Uh-huh.
I mean, in 2003 or 2004.
Hey, good luck, then can do compare and contrast.
Yeah, no? We should try that, huh?
Yes.
Vexil. It's also
sounds
screening.
Like a medicine, no? Sounds like medication.
Anime.
Have you taken your Vexil today?
Vexil, better than Viagra.
Oh.
Stand longer.
I see.
I mean, stand up. Not. No, never mind. Malaysian Health Minister takes Vexil.
Anyway, this is from the creators of Appleseed, apparently.
Oh, I love Appleseed.
You liked it, huh?
Oh, I loved it.
So you're going to watch this?
I might wait for DVD to come out. But one of the guys in the office, Okita, watched it and he liked it very much.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe worth watching. It's at Picture House, right?
Yes, it is at Picture House.
Cafe.
Apparently, you get free limited movie poster with every 2 tickets purchased while stocks last.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's Vexil. Anime, something to catch. American gangster. American gangster is out.
Yes, that's right. Starring Russell Crowe, whom I don't really like.
You don't?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't
like him as an actor or you don't like him as a person?
I think I don't like him as all the stories in the media go.
Yeah.
But he is a credible actor, actually, I feel. I mean, like, from Beautiful Mind and everything. And, of course, the person that I actually really want to watch is Denzel Washington.
Denzel, people?
Don't say Denzel.
Don't say Denzel Washington. It's not, like, the same thing as Japanese.
That's true.
Opportunity. It's Denzel, okay?
So that's American Gangster.
It's very good. We reviewed it already, so go and catch, go and listen again to our review on See What Show and, you know, find out whether it's worth watching. And I can tell you it is. Go and listen anyway.
Okay.
Find out why.
Take your word for it.
Yeah. Okay, first review. Review time.
See What Show, review time.
310 to Yuma, I watched. This is a remake of a 1957 black and white Western.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a Western.
22 robberies. Over $400,000 in losses. More in delays. The Southern Pacific will have Ben Wade convicted in a federal court. Hanged in public. An example made. And we will pay to make it happen.
Y'all notice he didn't mention any of the lives I've taken.
I need 3 more men.
You can have Tucker.
Good.
I'm coming. I only need one.
You're wounded, Mr. McElroy.
I rode in here. Sure as hell can ride out.
He goes. Potter's coming.
What? I can't shoot shit.
I was best shot in my regiment. I'll come.
And if you can see from all the posters, it stars Christian Bale and Russell Crowe.
Again?
Again?
How much did he pay you, huh?
Russell Crowe. Again, we must do a lot of Russell Crowe promotion. Russell Cromotion. Both the 1957 and the 2007 versions were based on famous Western novelist, cowboy novelist Elmore Leonard. Yeah, based on one of his stories.
Before my time, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't read Westerns, you won't know who he is. But if you are a Western, like you like to read Westerns as a genre, as a book, Elmore Leonard is like the man.
The man.
Yeah, he's the Tom Clancy of, you know, Westerns.
Oh,
yeah,
he's
the man. Dan Evans, played by Bale, is this rancher who is poor and struggling. He's struggling to feed his family because his ranch is suffering from drought. He owes money to this guy called Glenn Hollander, who's like, you know, sent his men to burn Dan's barn down because he never pay money. Oh, money, no, I pay money. Like, don't try that. He's very poor thing. Somehow he lost his leg fighting for Abraham Lincoln in the Civil War. So he's not doing very well. And he got two sons who don't really respect him because he's like, seems less of a man, right? He's always very docile and doesn't seem to be assertive. And, you know, he's a man who's struggling with the loss of his leg and, in a way, his manhood. And his oldest son, William, is 14 years old and he's very good at shooting. He's a real crack shot, but he's also very stubborn. So these are the people in his life and his wife who looks at him, who doesn't look at him.
Oh, because...
Yeah, like, oh, you're not providing for me.
Lacking in manhood also, you said.
Well, lacking in, you know, you can't provide for me, you know, and she's sort of like stoic, but still, you know, there's a already loss of respect for him.
Mm.
But that's not so happening in their family life. Dan meets Ben Wade, who is a totally different character. He's a flamboyant, it's Russell Crowe, by the way.
Yes.
He's this flamboyant, infamous head of a band of infamous bandits and he just got caught after a stagecoach robbery. And he's being escorted to the town of Contention. You know that town's name, very funny, Contention.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And he's supposed to take the 310 train to Yuma, hence the title, to face court, to be tried by federal court for his crimes and probably hung.
I like the title, you know, already.
Yeah, 310 to Yuma, yeah, like just like that, you know. 415 to Potong Pasir.
Yeah,
you know?
Something like that. Yeah.
Dan volunteers to ride shotgun to be one of the posse because he said, you know, I need the money. So $200, which is a lot of money in Western's time.
Of course.
In that time. And he volunteers to escort Ben Wade to Contention. And he has to fend off together with the people with him. There's a marshal. There are people from the Pinkerton Agency. Pinkerton Agency, last time in the olden days, they were like the equivalent of a private detective agency.
Mm.
Yeah, Pinkerton, very famous. So they were working for the railroad companies who are very loaded. So they were escorting him. And they had to fend off like all kinds of... got Indians. They got like Ben's gang is also determined to free their boss from the law. You know, last time... It's very cowboy town. And you're allowed to go after cops and shoot them and take your guys, bad guys back. Yeah, so that's very dangerous because the gang's very famous for brutal and, you know, they're all very good shots and there's a big gang, not a small gang. Along the way, you know, of course, Dan and Ben Wade, they have an odd bond. They develop an odd bond because, you know, there's nothing to do but just talk, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and escape from Indians. So, and their gang. So the two of them develop a relationship. And I think this is where the movie really shines. The two leads make this movie very, very worth watching.
Okay. Is it that kind of very understated type of acting?
Yeah, yeah. I think what makes it worse is that they were very restrained.
Mm.
They were very restrained. They showed a lot of restraint. They were not showboating. They were not trying too hard to be larger than the other guy.
Right.
And their combined performances then become, you know, larger than, you know, the sum of the two of them.
Yes.
And they're acting sometimes a little bit too understated, but still, it works.
You took up my boy's time too. You're right. I did. Anything else you want to get paid for, Dan?
Give me $5 extra.
And what's that for?
For making me nervous.
There's still action. It is old school classic Western,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
But it takes a very out of date genre. You know, people don't watch westerns no more.
Mm-hmm.
But they really updated it, and I think it's fresh again, and people enjoy watching it. And it's modern in the sense that they updated it with the violence and shooting. In the original Black and White one, there's more talking. The two guys were, you know, just talking a lot. And here, they kind of almost Quentin Tarantino-ish style shooting here and there.
What, we're talking Kill Bill type of
very violent,
violence
very
and bloodshed,
violent.
Isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, very violent. But it's still enjoyable. Like, it's not... I think they updated it also in terms of the way that it was shot as well. And it was beautifully shot. I mean, the sights of, you know, the towns and the scenery is also, it's also very enjoyable to watch. But the two men, basically, what makes it work. And I enjoyed the tension between the two guys more than I enjoyed the action, actually, ironically.
Okay.
And just watching the relationship build. And hard to also cheer, to find the right people to cheer for, good guys or bad guys. Because the white guy, white hat and the white black hat all have their own charm, you know.
But that's the best kind.
Yeah,
you don't know who you're rooting for, so you end up rooting for all in a strange way.
Even Van Wade's gang, you know, colourful, especially his lieutenant, who wears a Confederate Army uniform and is kind of like... evil to the core. He's so enjoyable to watch. You know, he's a crack shot, and he says he makes these one liners which you know, jump at you, and he's a enjoyable bad guy. You know, so that's fun. Highly recommended.
Highly recommended.
Yeah, but women may not like it.
Okay, I was about to ask.
Women, I don't know. My wife said maybe my wife's kind of anti-Western. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But there were no female characters. You didn't mention any, right?
The wife is a bit... No, it's a very men movie. There were one or two, like, bar woman who slept with Russell Crowe kind of thing. But
okay, no. But nothing very substantial. It's just
no,
that wife.
It's a very
character.
Male bonding thing, which is very Western anyway.
True,
I mean,
true.
You know, Westerns in the past were very men kind of focus. Yeah, men and the horses. Then along came Brokeback Mountain.
Exactly.
Screw that all up. messed it up.
Did you say screw?
I'm sorry. Oops. It's the Freudian slip, I tell you. Okay. Man flick to chick flick.
Yes, chick flick indeed. Indeed.
It was, right?
Yes.
What was it again?
Waitress.
Yeah.
Hello, Jenna.
Hello. Here, I brought you some peachy keen tarts.
So, what seems to be the problem?
I seem to be pregnant.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks, but I'm not so happy about it like everybody else might be. I'm having the baby, and that's that.
Un-congratulations.
Un-thank you.
The biggest mystery about Jenna Hunterson is how a girl this great...
You should open your own pie shop.
Yeah, somewhere where they could really use a little pie shop, like Europe or New Jersey.
Ended up with a life like this.
Hi.
I don't care if she is a pie genius. I wouldn't trade places with her. No.
Oh, where's that money you made today?
Right here in my pocket.
Well, now hand it over.
I'm inventing a new pie in my head. I hate my husband pie.
I don't think we can write that on the menu board, huh?
How you doing today, Joe?
Same as yesterday, Jenna. How are you?
Same train wreck.
How's the bad husband?
Excuse me, I feel like I'm gonna be sick.
There was a diner right near where I grew up. I had a mad crush on this waitress. You made me think of her.
What a thing to say.
It was a compliment.
Nobody ever notices me in that way. I can't have no affair because it's wrong, and I don't want Earl to kill me pie. Hold the banana.
Dear baby, I hope someday somebody wants to hold you for 20 minutes straight. All they do is wrap you up in their arms without an ounce of selfishness to it.
You can find the whole meaning of life in those eyes.
Wow.
Actually, it's a very, very recent movie. 2007 it was released.
Yes.
This show is bittersweet in so many respects. And actually, as I was watching it, I kept fluctuating between liking it, not being very sure whether I liked it. I kept asking myself questions like, am I being too sentimental? Am I just a sappy woman after all? Am I a country junkie? Because there's this really sprightly country soundtrack that goes underneath,
oh, really?
Which I know will drive anybody who is not a country fan, shall I say, up the wall.
So it's a sappy country and Western chick flick. Wow, what a combo.
Okay,
yeah.
No, like, I hesitate to say that it is a country and Western chick flick alone. But I will say that there are no really strong male characters painted in the movie anyway. I guess it's kind of slanted towards the woman because, well, she is the central character for one, and then also because, maybe because the late writer and director was a woman.
Okay, wait, who is she?
She.
Who's the waitress?
Okay, the waitress. The waitress is actually Kerry Russell, famous for the TV series Felicity.
Yes.
And the writer-director was Adrienne Shelley, who's actually passed away. She was murdered before the movie was actually released. Yeah. Well, we'll come to that in a little bit. Anyway, you are very right in saying that it's a kind of Western, because it is set in the American South.
Okay.
Main action takes place in a pie shop.
Mm.
So, you know, pie shop. I mean, the setting in itself is so small town and so woman and so domestic in that sense, right?
Okay.
So it's about this waitress who bakes fabulous pies.
Right.
Her name is Jenna, and it also happens that she's stuck in a very unhappy marriage to this guy called Earl.
You didn't ask me how my day was.
How was your day?
Ask me like you care about it.
How was your day, Earl?
Well, you know. Johnson's on my case again. Got the mortgages and everything. But I don't make bank policy, and I told him that. Okay, he doesn't listen.
I hate my husband pie. You take bittersweet chocolate and don't sweeten it. You make it into a pudding and drown it in caramel.
You're not listening to me.
Yeah, I am.
What'd I say?
You were bitching about Mr. Johnson.
What were the exact words I said?
Well, I can't repeat them verbatim.
You don't listen to me. Hurts my feelings. Well, please just say you're sorry so I can let you out of this car so you can make my dinner.
I'm sorry, Earl, for not being able to repeat your words verbatim. Something I should be able to do.
Whenever I need it.
Whenever you need it.
And the worst thing is that the movie starts with her doing a pregnancy test, and she finds out that, I'm pregnant.
Oh,
okay, this is double trouble because actually she was saving up money to leave her husband without his knowledge, of course, right? But then now that she's pregnant, you have this conflict now, which is introduced right away, you see. So
straight away, baby already,
how? Leave, don't leave, you know, all those all those things. In fact, you know, part of her plan to leave him was actually to take part in this, big time pie making contest, and then she will win like a huge sum of money, and then she can dump her husband.
Oh, I see.
Ah. But then as it turns out, she gets pregnant, so she has to see a gynae. And in the course of these appointments, what happens? She has a crush on her gynae, and they have this romantic relationship that kind of is like, you don't know if they really are in love with each other, or is just, or is it just because she is lonely, or is it because he's also lonely? It's
a lonely gynae.
Lonely gynae.
Okay.
So, as you can see, the story is not really very earth-shattering, but it's told in a very quirky manner, and I think that is probably one of the high points.
Yeah. How is it quirky?
Okay, firstly, it's set in a small town, right? So, you know, you kind of expect the stereotype that, nothing much ever happens. Everyone is outwardly dysfunctional in one way or another, okay? And because she makes pies, the quirkiness comes in these internal monologues that she has. And you see the camera zooming in on a pie that she's making. So, if let's say she's angry with her husband, which of course she is, or she's very dismayed by the lot that she has in life, then it's kind of determined by the ingredients that go into the pie and how she names the pie. I hate Earl, my husband pie, you know, that kind of thing.
I see.
Yeah, but I don't want to give too much away because this is the high point. So if you watch it, then I don't want to spoil the surprise for you, right?
But that's the style.
That's the style.
Okay, because that kind of distinguishes it from your run-of-the-mill sappy melodrama stuff.
Correct.
Like, it's got that quirk. That's nice.
When I watched it, I think it reminded me a little bit of the early Ally McBeal type of quirky commentary, but minus the visual gags.
It's got visual gags.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, it doesn't have visual gags.
Okay, yeah. Ally McBeal had visual gags.
Correct.
Sorry,
yeah.
I'm blur.
I mean, there are some, I mean, in the filming, there are certain things that are done to kind of increase the quirkiness, but I don't think that's really the main thing.
Mm.
Yeah. On the other hand, though, if I want to be a little bit more intellectual, I can say that maybe the pie is also a metaphor for how a person creates his or her life. You know, what ingredients do you put into it?
Wow, chim eh.
Very. If you want to be chim, you can ma.
Oh, so it's also chim. At the same time, it is can be sappy.
You see, if you are a woman and then you like think about your life and then you like try and intellectualize what's going on, you try and talk about your emotions, then you can read into all these lah. You know?
So if I watch you, my wife will be like, darling, it's just a pie. For God's sake. But, stop intellectualizing the pie.
Hey, but there is a true inspiration behind
really?
Yeah, this. As I was talking about the writer and director, Adrienne Shelley, she actually was inspired by her own pregnancy when she came up with the story.
Oh.
Because I think there's a certain kind of insecurity when a person is pregnant.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean,
I know that I would know, but I've seen it.
Take it from me. It's true.
It's true. Yeah. I've taken it from my wife 3 times.
So you should know.
I've seen it.
Sometimes, right, you get woken in the middle of the night like, oh, what happens if? What happens if?
Yeah.
Will I be a good mother?
Yes, yes.
Can I teach the child the right thing?
I'm fat.
I'm ugly. My nose is bloated.
I'm swollen.
Yes. Yeah. So it was actually really inspired by the kind of insecurity she had. Very sad, though. That's why I say it's bittersweet all around, because she was actually murdered before the movie came out. In fact, when they found her body, it was staged to look as if she hung herself.
Jeez.
But it, according to Wikipedia, which I don't know if can be relied on, but apparently it's... apparently, it was a guy who was involved in some construction, downstairs, and made too much noise, and she told him off,
and then he killed her.
Something like that. So don't take it for truth. We don't know.
We don't know. But the fact that she died and murdered is true, lah.
Yeah. So very sad.
By whom? Yeah. We don't know. Mm.
But I would say yes, you're right. It's a chick flick in that sense, and I think it's pretty introspective. It's nice food for thought. If you're planning a baby, please go watch it.
Wow.
With your husband. If you don't know whether or not you want to... if you're expecting a baby, please go and watch it with your husband. But if you're not sure, then I think you should go and watch it yourself first.
Oh, so it's not something the guy might enjoy, lah?
Hard to say.
Yeah, depends. Unless you're the insensitive guy like me.
The sensitive, new-age guy.
New-age, sensitive, such a snack.
Snack.
I'm such a snack. I'm in touch with myself.
Yes.
Must say carefully, you cannot say I'm touching myself. I'm in touch with myself.
So tell us, did you and Kai exchange a few blows when you had your last discussion?
Oh, yeah. The AVP, yeah. AVP 2, Alien versus Predator 2.
Oh, my God. Guess nobody's home.
It was outside the window.
You just had a bad nightmare.
What the hell was that? Get out!
Jesse,
go!
Oh my God, get out of the
water! See?
No monster.
What in the hell is that?
Hold on!
Go! Everyone on the back!
Colonel, the town's completely overrun. What's the Army's evacuation plan?
There's an airlift in 30 minutes.
The Colonel's lying. The Army thinks about containment first. If I'm right,
we're all dead.
I'm sure a lot of you guys are wondering whether the movie was any good, because a lot of us are fans of not just Alien, but also Predator, right? The two movies, right?
That's right.
And then there's the whole Alien versus Predator franchise, which is, you know, in itself another juggernaut, right? In terms of the graphic novels and all that. And then, of course, people who don't really care about the whole AVP franchise action. We had a disagreement, and it was fun. Mm. So let's take a listen.
What must I read? What must I read to appreciate the movie? Tell me.
What?
This story.
This story by Ian Eckington called Eternal, right?
Eternal.
Okay.
Is it based on this?
No, I don't think so. But so if I don't read that book, I'll think it sucks. No, if you read that book, it's a plus factor.
No, tell me why
you could.
Tell me why.
Extrapolate your own ideas from that, lah.
Why they only send one guy? It's right at the beginning. You know
want to hear a spoiler?
No, okay, like, technically, is everybody on Christmas, New Year Eve, and a long weekend, is it?
Okay, what's the guy from Pulp Fiction?
John Travolta.
Not Travolta. It's called The Wolf. The character is called The Wolf. I read it somewhere on the phone. What's the actor's name? Doesn't matter. Look, he operates as a cleaner. Because conventionally, you must understand from the Predator universe, right, if you really read the books, Predators operate on a clan level.
Okay.
They vie for hunting rights on a planet. You understand? It's not like, suka-suka just go and whack
so
people.
So that guy had hunting rights for
That guy is like a space cadet kind of thing. He is a ranger and he cleans up when his young ones go awry.
Oh, it's not because he was on leave and he wasn't on leave and everybody else was on leave. No.
No, no, no. That's the thing, you see. Okay,
oh, he had to clean up the mess.
It would have been nice if they sent more cleaners.
Oh, but he
because
was the
this
one
guy,
on
you want to... Yeah lah, you want to exemplify this dude? He's a zai kia ma.
Oh, he's so, a zai kia. Then the guy who screwed up was
two
a not
f***ing shoulder cannons. How not zai is that? No,
oh, two cannon means is yeah. The high end. Oh.
And then, okay, the problem is, do you notice at the end, right? This here's a spoiler, okay. When he unveiled his mask, right? He only had three mandibles, you know.
Uh-huh.
Not four, no. One
what does that mean?
Completely burned off from...
He hasn't watched, huh? We talk.
Hey, you want to hear a spoiler again? And then
so he has three mandibles.
Yeah, he's
okay,
got
tell
three
me,
mandibles.
What's the difference between the three mandibles and four mandibles?
The entire four horns burned off by alien blood, lah. So you can, I mean, it's just a hint at how much action he sees.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
like battle scar, like
yeah,
one teeth left.
Yeah, correct. And
one
then that left. Is also sort of like a throwback,
okay,
to a famous character in the Predator mythos called Broken Tusk. Now
oh,
he's
I
a
see.
Leader. He's
fight until broken.
Okay, you shut up, Space Marine. You know
broken.
Nothing. Broken Tusk, look, you go and do yourself a favor. You
okay,
pick up the
okay,
original
okay.
AVP book from
and
from
and
Dark Horse.
Come on, the ending.
Okay, the ending. Okay.
Hey, look,
do you
okay,
understand
what,
what's going
what,
on?
What is the point?
Okay,
of
okay.
Dropping,
okay.
Sending. Okay, what's the point of sending one guy if. Okay, I'm not going to spoil it for
I'm
people,
not saying it's amazing on
ending.
All facts. Okay, like the
who's
one
that lady?
Miss Yutani, the Raven Head Asian.
Okay.
If you remember in the Alien movies, right,
uh-huh.
when they established this famous corporation named called Weyland Yutani, Richard, I think, was it Richard Weyland or something? Weyland, the guy mm-hmm. who's also made in the image of his androids in the Alien movies, right, as Bishop.
Bishop.
Yeah, exactly. You
yeah,
see?
Or their corporation.
Weyland is the guy, Yutani is the lady, and they both came together to, I guess,
form,
found,
the corporation.
Form this corporation.
Because they got the technology.
Yeah.
Oh,
if, I guess that's how it ends up.
Like that, okay.
So it explains how aliens, you know.
Yeah, but for people who have no idea.
Too bad lah.
Yeah,
you don't watch Feng Yun and then go like, oh, what the hell, this sucks,
but
without
the,
knowing anything
ending,
about the background. What?
But the ending...
A bit dark happening
like,
lah.
What's the point? Oh?
What's the point?
The guy went all the way. Then, who took care of business? The V in AVP. Come on.
Oh, yeah lah.
For what? He's like, ah,
no, to end everything. Okay, see, he went down there as a cleaner, right? Okay, the only
but he didn't
thing
manage to clean anything.
Exactly, because what happened was they had a beautiful hospital scene. To me, another visual throwback to Alien 3 in the infirmary, right? So when you have... they always get all the glamour shots from all the previous movies. You know, even the musical motif is from Predator, you know?
Is it?
Yeah, all the... Tra-dum, you know, in the jungle scene and everything. It's... Power.
All I thought was that they just trying to get as much gore as possible. It's like even
no
baby
la.
And children to
pregnant woman must have 5 eggs inside, that kind of thing. Okay, but
it was just
that's
go
what
violence,
it's all about.
Right?
What? Okay, to be fair,
okay,
there are some details which a lot of people hate.
Okay.
For one, if you send a cleaner, right, which we all believe is to be a cleaner, right, got time to skin people on me.
Yeah, what's up with that, man?
Yeah, that's the thing I don't quite understand.
Oh, so the CSI but thing that he was doing is cleaning,
no, just to... I guess it's just to get that line on that idiot, which is, oh my god, you have no idea who you're going out against.
Yeah, but they didn't explain
your
the
way
idea in the
your
first
head.
Place. But when, at the beginning, they point of the screen, then you gotta go. Then, like, nobody knows what cleaner... Who's the...
Oh, not,
who's
not okay,
they
I guess not about
that.
Cleaner or junior or whatever. It's just this guy. Because he was sort of, like, looking through that... omnipresent telescope thing, right, where he could actually go.
If they had explained that, at least I can't understand why he was removing evidence as well.
Removing evidence cause
the blue thing. And
okay, you notice in the Predator movies they have a nuke, a portable nuke,
yeah,
right? Why?
To make sure that nothing, no trace of them is left behind.
Exactly, yeah. So instead of nuking the planet, which they don't want to, because it's not, they're not supposed to in the first place crash land on the planet. The way Predators work,
oh, okay,
in the AVP universe, when Fox decided to merge these two brands, right?
Okay.
It's because aliens were supposed to be the most hardcore prey in the entire universe, in the known universe. And Predators treat them as the most valued and most prestigious prey to hunt over, not humans.
Oh, humans
they're
are like
just
fodder.
Fodder, correct. And
yeah,
they are drawn
collateral
to heat
damage.
In a way, lah. Mm. In the Predator universe, they are drawn to heat and conflict. If you remember what the Colonel guy said in Predator 2, you see.
So then, what is this whole thing about not blowing up planets? Why do you?
Because they are there to not make this planet an infestation. They understand how aliens are very lethal as a force and how they impregnate worlds,
so
and they go around
they,
and they spread.
But they
their
only
seed.
Want to hunt these guys, but they don't want these guys to become a problem.
Oh, control, exactly, yeah. That's why if you read the mythos and everything, you understand that they have huge ships with a captured alien queen, just like what you saw in Predator or AVP 1, right? When they strung up the alien queen and they force her to breed and lay the eggs and make their own, you know?
Just for hunting only.
For hunting's sake, exactly.
But they don't want
just
to use them.
Metal.
Yeah, but they don't use, they don't want to get those guys infesting planets. Huh?
Definitely not.
Oh, so that's...
That's the point, you see? So that's why they're sending the cleaner to clean up the mess. And then when he landed, that's why he was looking through the bodies of his dead young or what. I'm assuming, I didn't quite notice the emblem thing. But, you know, the point was, he couldn't because they ended up at the hospital. When the pet alien went to the hospital and he started impregnating and pumping the women full of the seed and everything, then he was like, he knew it was game over then. So he just did whatever he could at that point, which is, he was already hurt already, he already got that, all that shit happening to him and everything. So, I mean...
But I don't know, the plot... Like,
no, the plot
sucks.
But the last part made me very happy because then I know how they want to establish and move forward with the series, man. You gotta read the books and you understand.
I just thought it was very violent. They had no more suspense to deal with anymore.
There wasn't.
You know that guy's gonna get face hugged,
exactly.
And all that stuff. But,
and the kid gets face hugged.
Yeah, but it's all violence.
Yeah, which is about what the movies are about all along.
I didn't get a sense of a plot, though. I just felt the plot was like loophole everywhere. And if you didn't explain the cleaner idea, I wouldn't have, at least now I appreciate, okay, I understand why they sent
the
one
cleaner
guy.
Idea is just purely hypothetical, you know. But the point is, when you notice all the Predator movies, right, these guys come down as a clan and only one of them goes out to hunt because he's the most lao ting, the most lao ta one. Or may not be, or like the chosen one. Okay, since you're the one, the noob, we send you out. If anything happens, they take back the body and, they go.
I still think they should send more cleaners.
They should. It would have been cooler, right?
Cleaner, yeah.
Like, you notice he goes up to the whole armory wall.
Yeah,
so
cool. He's like the Rambo commander.
Yeah, you think it's going to be some rugby, like, whoa, 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 whoa. And then they all go or something, right? They don't have one. It's just one guy.
And then the hybrid also. Come on. That was a butt ugly.
The hybrid.
Yeah, the alienator.
The hybrid is sort of...
Alienator. Predian.
It's the Pred Alien.
Predadian.
The Pred Alien was actually based off the movie. I mean, the games.
Is it?
The games.
There's a half hybrid in the game.
Yeah. All
ugly,
these,
that
all
one
these
them
was,
ugly.
The thing is, every story was already established before the movie.
And he keeps trying to bite the guy with his mini mouth, but he could have used his tail and just shove it into his body and kill him.
They just had to see the tongue wrenching scene, ma. Yeah, la, just
there are many ways of killing.
Exactly.
Predator,
they ran out of ideas, so they had to do that. Now you know.
But it was a good violent movie.
It was a good violent movie. Yeah, but that's why I beg you to go in. I beseech you to really pick up the books and
explore.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. Which one is the one? This is Omnibus, Volume 1.
The Omnibus is a reprint of all the favorites.
Alien,
the fan favorites, right?
Predator.
Check out
Omnibus.
The story Eternal. It'll blow your mind.
Eternal is good.
By Ian Edginton. Okay, and don't forget to try to pick up the original AVP book.
Okay.
By Dark Horse.
Okay. So Alien versus Predator.
Aliens versus Predator. It was. Material 5th anniversary special. Randy Stradley wrote the script.
Eternal.
No.
Oh,
ADP,
the other one.
The original.
The original.
Published by Dark Horse in what, 1991?
Okay. So read, then you get a better sense of the movie.
Yes.
Okay. We get like Feng Yun. Feng Yun also, I went like, what the hey?
Yeah, but all the fans like Stanley is like, wow!
Wow, they felt they were true to the original.
Exactly.
Okay, alright then.
That's the point.
So that's Alien versus Predator. One who loved it, one who hated it. Hated it!
Me too.
See? Two hated it, one loved it. Okay, that's the show for this week. I hope you enjoyed our reviews of 310 to Yuma, Waitress, and AVP2 with Kai. We'll be back. This is Mr. Brown.
And this is Ling.
Bye bye.
Bye. A production of Scene. What? Show.com.